This is a Collider.com audio interview.
Yeah, hello.
Hi.
Hello, sir.
Hello.
I'd introduce you.
Hands out. Here we go.
Bang.
Perfect. Thanks for coming.
All right.
This can be you.
Is this my spot?
This is your spot.
Far away.
There's only two recorders. And everyone else will throw questions. We've got 15 minutes, and then I got to move the man on.
Good deal. Is there a bottle of water?
Yes, there is.
Thank you.
Water or anything at 12.
I just want to say how amazing it is. I speak for fandom to see you back in this role.
Oh, wow. Isn't that something? What is it, 27, 28 years? 28 years? My God.
So how has Flynn changed in 28 years? What sort of happened?
Well, this is kind of a challenge for me because I don't want to give too much of the, I mean, I don't want to deprive anybody of the enjoyment of seeing the film with any kind of twists and turns, so I'm going to probably not answer too many of their plot, you know, too many of your questions about that, you know, because I just, you know, I want to, you know, make it fun for people without, you know, telling the whole plot. But it's certainly a different deal. I mean, we made Tron. There was no internet, man. No cell phones. It was no laptops or any of that stuff. So that, you know, it's a completely different world that we're showing up in here, and the look of the film certainly you know, benefits from that.
Your character is he in charge of NCOM?
Well.
Still running.
See, I don't want to get too much. I can't. It's going to be tough, man. I don't want to say too much of
we'll
this
just
stuff.
Say,
story. You know what we got? You know what we got to get? We got to get a good thing to tell these folks. You know, this is the first time. This is the first one of these I've done, but something that we can present that kind of scratches that itch, or at least addresses it a little bit about what's this about? You know, I don't know.
What about the return of Clue?
The return of Clue. Clues. Yeah. Like, you've already got clues in there. That's probably enough. I don't know.
Yeah. They'll get much more when they do their walk around later.
So. Oh yeah. Oh, you guys. Oh, you guys have just arrived. You
just
arrived.
They just came out of customs.
Oh yeah.
Well,
where did you see? Oh man.
Their flight was late, so they're just.
Could you talk about? Are you in the whole, are you the focus of the film?
you know. I feel it feels a little bit like. Like, what's that old TV show? What's my line?
Oh, what's your, yeah. What?
But am I the focus? I'm one of the focuses. You know, I mean, it.
He's been here for the entire shoot.
I've been here for the entire shoot. Garrett Hedlund is, you know, the kind of the, I don't know what you would call the protagonist in the story.
Well, not giving anything away. Can you tell us when we first meet you? Do we meet you in? Which world do we meet you in?
I cannot say anything. Isn't that terrible?
Well, how about this? How about
it's
this?
Terrible. What can we talk about?
What's it like coming back to this character 28 years later? Is it hard to get back into his
well,
shoes?
Well, it's not really. I mean, it seems like we had a long weekend, basically, you know, because Lisberger, you know, who directed the first one, he's involved, very involved in this one. Which is great, you know, having the kind of the source of the material still engaged in the thing. I think it gave us all a lot of pleasure because he's such a wild cat. But it's also, you know, kind of grounded the whole thing in that first movie that was, you know, so unique and everything. And so, you know, hearing about it, I heard that they were, you know, years before it came up. I heard, oh, they're going to do a, you know, a Tron 2, and I couldn't. Believe him. I said, you're kidding me. I, you know, nothing happened. And then finally this came about. I was so pleased. And we did a kind of a, I guess it's not that strange. I think the first time I heard about it, the Coen brothers did this, where they shoot the trailer for the movie first without ever having made the movie, and in hopes to entice the financiers. You know, and that's what they did with this one, to really entice Disney to say, oh yeah, we own this thing, we might as well, you know, do one of these. So the trailer came off well. We played it at Comic-Con, and it went over well.
Were you surprised at the reaction?
Yeah, a little bit. I haven't been to Comic-Con. I'm gonna go to this one coming up, but I hear it's kind of a crazy thing. You guys have all been there, right?
Yeah.
Is it wild? Does it get bigger each year?
It's already sold out.
Oh man.
Are you
taking photos on this set?
You know, I took a few, but I've kind of lost my, the impetus to do that for some reason. I think when I put a book out a few years ago, kind of a compilation book of these smaller books that I made as gifts for the cast and crew of these movies. And once I put that book out, I kind of felt like I hatched my egg. You know, I made a few other smaller books after that, but I've just noticed that my interest in documenting, you know, what it's like making movies. This would have been a great one to do, and I did a few, but the light is so low that our wonderful director of photography, Claudio Miranda, that I can't get the right exposure on my camera, this Widelux camera. It's...
What's been your reaction to the... You've seen the 3D footage of the new light cycle stuff?
Yeah.
And what's your reaction to it?
It's just great. I mean, it's just, better, more sophisticated, more refined. Joe, our director, was an architect. That's where he's coming from. It's interesting, different filmmakers, where they come from and what they bring to the film. And he's an architect, and so the film has a very, heightened design feel to it. And he hired this wonderful production designer, Darren, don't tell me, Darren Guilford, yeah. Right? And this is, I think, his first major movie. I think he did one smaller independent film. And he's out of car design. So it adds another thing. It's not somebody, who is an interior decorator. I think it's this car. So the world has a really wonderful feel to it.
Well, you talked about the process, but what was sort of your reason for wanting to come back? I mean, or did it take persuading, or were you eager to?
I got a pitch from Joe, who, by the way, this is his first film. I don't know if you know that or not, but can you imagine? I don't know, it's the most expensive film ever made, but it's right up there to have a first-time guy. Got to give Disney some credit for, taking that risk. They were smart because he's such a calm, can-do guy. I mean, he's going to pull this off. And he made a wonderful pitch on the kind of the story, where it was going, and that was intriguing to me. And then he showed me his commercial reel. He's out of commercials, and I saw some of the technology that he was that he had available to him and that he could use. And then it was basically the same reason that I did the first one. It was kind of the first one was cutting edge technology at that time, and this one certainly is for this time. And it's a whole different way of making movies that I hadn't experienced. A little bit in Iron Man, but nothing like this.
Well, it's interesting. It was cutting edge at the time, and now it's almost kind of quaint. And the kids, they like to keep going to the new thing, but they keep discovering Tron. It's sort of kept up in the popular consciousness for, for a quarter of a century. Yeah. From your perspective, why do you think it continues to sort of resonate with people?
Gee.
When's the last time you saw it?
God, I didn't see the whole thing in entire. That must be, 20 years. I didn't look at it. Before this one, I saw little bits and different scenes, but not all the way through. I remember the music of Tron was quite, Wendy Carlos did a great score, and that kind of, remember that opening shot, coming in. There's certain things that, like the light cycle ratio, those were so kind of fun to watch. And I don't know if you guys, have you seen the cardboard Tron? Have you seen that? I don't know how you can get it. If you go onto my site on the stuff page, I think you'll see it. And it's a little drawing of a guy in a Tron outfit in a cardboard box. And what somebody did was reconstructed every shot of the race, with using little cardboard figures and stuff. I mean, he really got into it, And that kind of thing has kept it alive. And I suppose the video games have too.
You said once the thing you remembered about making the first Tron was this really uncomfortable dance belt.
Oh, God. Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
So is the same thing happening with this one? Or?
No dance belt, thank God. Here we have these wonderful suits that are light up, and so they have their own kind of problems, heating up and stuff like that. But the suits are quite a bit different, really.
Costumes. Are they using sort of an LED light? Because I know with Watchmen they had to do a whole separate thing so it didn't burn.
Yeah, they've got all kind. I don't know all the technical stuff of it, but these suits are amazing. They're I was talking about the lighting being so low in the that they're using. One of the reasons for that is so the suits, you can really see the suits, and the suits can even light the other actors off your suits, that kind of thing.
I was going to say, too, I was reading yesterday, and you said that one thing in getting into a little bit of a thought, you found it interesting that he was sort of playing you from the movie that he created, so it was this weird, symbology thing where he's kind of, playing a character.
Who is this you're talking to? Oh, Lisberger, yeah.
Yeah, Lisberger. And can you comment on that?
So what did he do? What did he say?
He's talking about how he has this kind of like Obi-Wan sort of role in relation to what the role was in the first one, and how it was a weird thing that he's playing this that he created and that he also directed, but that having you as part of it was this weird kind of epiphany sort of oddness for him. I mean,
Well, it is a little bit strange. I'm excited because I think he's gonna be in it somewhere. I think in the movie it'll be fun to play with him.
He'll be there tonight.
Yeah, and just him being involved with it was a big plus for me, and I think that was one of the things. You asked what made me get involved again. Another chance to work with Steve and do that, and Bruce too. Bruce is there.
Oh,
Box Lightning.
Are some of the younger cast, are they coming to you sort of for guidance,
how do I throw this disc?
No, I think we just use frisbees in the old one. More sophisticated, It was pretty funky back then.
Do you have a lot of scenes with Bruce?
Not really. No, I don't.
What is it about your makeup that takes 3 hours?
Again, you'll see.
I can say.
I was wondering if you can compare the directors, since wasn't it also Steven's first film?
Yeah, that's true too.
Is it surprising that a big sort of iconic film and again picking your first time director?
It is. It's kind of a shame in a way, but the more seasoned directors, a lot of times have more difficulty getting a job than first-time guys, It's the new kid on the block kind of thing. I've had great luck with first-time directors. I love working with them because it's like, Orson Welles directing, Citizen Kane. He doesn't know what he can't do. He's just so open, And Steven was like that. I remember I couldn't believe it. We show up the first day of work, and around the walls of the studio, this is the first Tron, are video games that you don't have to put quarters in. They're just all over. I said, God, Steve, you don't think this is going to kind of raise a little hell with the work? Guys are going to be. And he said, well, I don't know. I figured you might want to prepare before you go into on the grid. I said, okay. Yeah. So actually, both things happened. It did hold up the work every once in a while. But it was great fun. I remember I got locked into this game, Battle Zone. Any of you familiar with that game? The tanks? God. hours. And they would come to try to yank me away and say, I'm preparing!
Do you still play?
No. I kind of, I haven't gotten into all of the new stuff too much either.
Speaking of video games, I saw on the wall Flynn's, makes an appearance with a whole bunch of games covered up. Were you able to go to that set and do that flashback?
Yeah, that was wonderful. They did a great job in recreating that.
Is it very similar to the original?
It's as closely as they could come. I mean, it's not a, I don't know where that, I think that was a practical location in the original.
Yeah, oh.
And it's torn down, or I don't know if it's even there.
It's still there, but it's
changed. Oh yeah, it's not, yeah.
What's it been like filming in Vancouver?
Oh, wow, what a great city. Just loving it. Mm-hmm. You know, it's tooling around Stanley Park a lot on my bike and getting up to Grouse Mountain.
You've just took my grind?
No, I don't do the grind, but I took my girls up there. My three daughters visited me for Father's Day. We had a great time up there.
How different is sort of working with the special effects this time versus working with them on the original film?
Wow, I mean, it's so different. I mean, the original, you're basically working with, Duvetine, that black, stuff, and white adhesive tapes. Those were that's the design, basically. And, so if they want to make something, they would just kind of do that. Shot in 70 millimeter black and white, and then all hand tinted by Korean ladies, So that was the extent of the technology. And again, there was no internet or anything like that. And now, it's this whole just other realm. I think it's like kind of and one of the reasons I wanted to do it because I felt this is where movies are starting to go now. Where they're taking the actors and putting them inside a computer. It's pretty much like Tron, and then they can do whatever they want with it. They can say, let's put Bridges, but I want a little Pacino in there, and let's throw in the Joey Pants. What the hell? what kind of guy we come up with, And that's happening. They can do that. It's right around the corner.
And then do you get the feedback immediately? I guess in the original Tron, they had send it away and it get colored, and then you would see it a long time later. Do you see it much sooner now? And you sort of get to see what you're doing.
Well, we see it. This is shot in 3D. This is it's the first movie I've done in 3D, which is kind of interesting. And the video playback is in 3D.
Oh wow!
So you can see what that's like, but all of the effects, they're not. They have a thing called Previz, which is a preview, but in very kind of low res. These are shots off the Previz. These things up here. Uh-huh. So the whole movie is basically Previz'd already, and that helps a lot. When you're doing things where you can't see what's actually going to be in the movie, the director can kind of talk you through it.
What kind of physical preparation did you have to do for the role? I mean, is your performance in this as action-oriented as it was in the first one?
Physical stuff, mainly just keeping my back in shape. I have some back problems, so I got to do my back exercises and stuff like that. But that's about it. Nothing too much.
Are there things that were...
Mm-hmm. Well, they've done the light cycles and the disc, game. People, I think, are fans of that, so they wanted to keep that. That's still in there, but it's again taken to the next level. It's it's quite remarkable what they've done on that. And what's that? There's another vehicle. There's all kinds of little new twists on it. Have you guys seen the demo or what is it, the trailer? Or you've seen that?
Yeah.
So you get an idea with this. How the guys flip on their run and jump on that baton that has light cycles in it and all kinds of different things.
Seems like there's a lot of, based on what we're seeing, there's some practical sets. Could you talk about what set was most impressive to you, or what sequence you've been involved with really blew you away?
This set that you guys are going to see, I think, today, right, is, God, an amazing set. I went in there the other day, and it's this big bar, the end of the line club, and this
show
is it here.
Yeah. You said this is where they're spending their night.
Yeah.
And it's,
well, that's... I guess that's the end of the line. Isn't that a computer term? What do they say? End
that's the from the first movie.
Yeah.
I
can't remember.
I knew that.
What does that tell me about that again? How does that go?
Well, every time the MCP would talk to Sark, he'd say end of line at the end of the
That's what it was. It wasn't a club. Yeah, but he said end of line, right? I was hoping that we would get Sark back, David Warner back in. I had this funny scenario that didn't fly. But he was sort of like my butler, you know.
Were there any references that you wanted to get in there that they that were meaningful to you from the first movie that they couldn't get in there?
A bit, you know, a bit kind of work is maybe work is in a very bizarre way, kind of a very low tech way. Funny thing. One of the challenges of the movie was the the script and working with the whole slew of writers trying to come up with what the story is and what I'm going to say tomorrow. But the good news was that everybody was up to the task, both with their talent, but also they were just good folks, because it could have been a real train wreck if you had some guys who didn't get along or couldn't come up with the goods that fast. But they seemed to do that with these big. Did it with Iron Man too. I'm not sure what that's like. I don't know. I don't understand why they do that. Part of it, I think maybe they have a date, a release date that they've got to get, and they think, oh, we can get this done before, and then they don't.
Well, what are some special effects movies that you've seen that you really liked, besides Iron Man?
Yeah, one that popped in mind when you said it was another one that I did a remake of. That was a terrible special effects, King Kong. I thought this last one was great, but ours, oh God, what a joke. You had Rick Baker in that suit, cut up, juxtaposed to this giant, 80-foot, ceramic thing. I don't know, oh God. But I thought that was, I thought the animal, the ape in that was really wonderful.
The original movie takes a number of liberties with sort of the technicalities of programming. How sort of accurate is this movie trying to be, and how much is it sort of indulging the same level of sort of fantasy of like what is inside a computer?
It's probably a little bit more sophisticated, but it's still in the fantasy realm,
Are you doing any motion capture, performance capture?
Yeah, there's some of that.
Talk a little bit about that.
No, I gotta get them moving on through. Do you want to handle that?
No, you go ahead. I mean, it's like kind of what I said already about it. The fact that it's kind of the wave of the future, and there's things that are challenging, for actors who like to, dress up and play pretend. I mean, I don't get to wear any cool outfits or you don't need a set, I mean, I could shoot a scene for the movie right here with you guys. I could just put this hat on and go to town. And it's all, everything is done in post. The camera angle, And that's just like a new thing that's happening that you're going to have to figure out different skills for, I think, How you do it. It's bizarre.
Okay, I have to move
Okay.
Jeff through.
Thank you.
Sorry,
thank you
guys.
Very much,
you.
Sir.
Nice talking with you guys.
We'll see him on set later.
Thank you.
Have a good time.
At the bar.
Have you looked at all this stuff?
We sure have.
We're going to do an actual walkthrough with
good.
Darren later. And
cool.
Perfect, thanks, Jeff. I'll show
all
you
right.
Where
thank
he is.
You
are.
Thank you very much.
Bye-bye.
Yeah,
I
wasn't sure.
Thank you.
I think I have any questions. Yeah. Not to get them confused with what I...